This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Happy, it's Tuesday. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
We wish it was Wednesday.
I know. If it was Wednesday, we'd be one day closer to the end of Carl Middleman's week, which is Thursday, right?
Right.
Because you're off Friday.
I'm off Friday and Monday.
Oh, nice. See, I did burn up a lot of my vacation time earlier this year.
Yeah, but I'm going to be driving 2,000 miles in those days.
You're driving to Florida?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because my wife, in her infinite wisdom, believes that the weekend of the first week of January, it will probably be an ice storm either here, somewhere in Georgia, or in Chicago.
Is Nicole clairvoyant?
No, but she's preparing.
Ah.
Because if one of these days is bad on the roads, we have a second chance.
Yes, you do. All right. Well, good. Well, I wish you a safe trip. That is a long haul for a 4-day weekend?
Yeah. Oh no, ooh. I have to be back Sunday for the Missouri Illinois game.
Yeah, I thought so.
At 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. All right. Driving. We had a lot going on. Kim, you did the Polar Express I saw with Easton yesterday. What was your experience?
Yeah, it was really great. He loved it. He was dancing and waving to everybody. I mean, he was truly getting in the aisles and walking up to other people and children and, you know, oh, I should post a video. It was so cute. He only screamed. We say he screams like an eagle. Really, really high-pitched. He's kind of in that phase right now. He only did that twice, so I'm going to chalk that up as a win.
So did he enjoy like the whole all aboard? Did he get the Polar Express connection? Did you read the book to him?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I watched the movie for the first time Sunday night.
It helps if you're going to go down there because they really do their best to recreate portions of it. And if you haven't seen some of the scenes where they're dancing with the hot chocolate in the train cars, mm-hmm. and the all aboard, the conductor outside yelling all aboard, getting the people excited, all the kids in their pajamas, it kind of loses something if you haven't seen that.
I was impressed with the fact that the conductor even did the little punching of our tickets.
Oh, yeah.
He did that in a really cool pattern because if you watch the movie, they punch out words like believe and whatever the other words are.
Yeah. And now you've got... Now you've got your bell.
I have the bell. Nice. That's probably going to annoy me in a couple days. But I was joking with the other women who were on the train, and I'm thinking, have you prepared? Have you been practicing your flips? Because we expect to see that. She said, oh, yeah, they just happen so fast that they might you might miss it.
That you don't see it.
Did you hear the bell?
Get it.
I did, so I guess that means I believe.
Hard not to hear the bell, to be very honest with you. Coming up, we've got former Senator John Lamping at the bottom of the hour. You know, somebody even, I think they direct messaged me about this the other day. When are you going to get Kehoe on and ask him about ending the state income tax? Well, I mean, we're willing to do that. We're hoping to, in fact, have the governor on the opening day of the legislative session.
I spoke to someone yesterday.
We are working on that because we'll be in the Capitol for that down in Jeff City. So we'll ask him that plenty of times. In the meantime, there's whether or not the governor supports it, then there's the political reality of how do you pay for it. We're going to talk about that with John Lamping here at the bottom of the hour because there's a lot of argument if you look at other states around the country that do not have a state income tax. Their economies are through the roof. And there's good reason for that. And it scares the hell out of a lot of local municipalities and municipal organizations. And there's really no good reason for that. So we're going to talk about that coming up, bottom of the hour. Right now, our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Police say the shooter, armed with a handgun, opened fire, killing a teacher, a student, and injuring six other students, including two who remain in life-threatening condition.
Yeah, tragedy up in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday, a school shooter. The media immediately defaulted to, oh, the gun, when it's pretty clear that the shooter in this case had a long track record on social media of threats and specifically targeting people she didn't like, and nobody caught it.
We ordered an additional 200 miles of wall. It's very expensive. And now it's about double the price of what it would have been 6 years ago.
And, oh, by the way, he did mention in that same soundbite that the Biden administration is now trying to auction it off for 5 cents on the dollar. And then when he gets in office, he's going to have to buy more of it at double the price it was originally. This is what Joe Biden is trying to do to America as he exits out the door.
I knew what I was doing, asking her to be my vice president. I knew her. I knew of her. I knew about her. I knew her record. I trusted her. Purpose and integrity. And she always will.
Oh, the joy. The joy Joe Biden is feeling at Kamala Harris right now. There's no joy in Whoville. Let's put it that way. Yeah, a little yacht rock coming your way. I know Carl shakes his head when I say that, but Toto's coming in August, and they're going to have Minute Work, as you hear there. Christopher Cross from the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. I know there are Minute Work fans out there saying, that's not yacht rock. I don't know. Put your little captain's hat on and go to the concert. How about that? We're giving away our last pair of tickets today. And I think the tickets are they on sale already? They go on sale today. I think they're on sale already, aren't they?
I think we have tickets all week, Mark.
Oh, we do have tickets all week, don't we?
Yeah.
That's true. We do. You're right. So we give away another pair of tickets right now. And because Kim voiced the promo this way, we have to give them to caller number 12.
Hey, I just read what Ryan Wiggins wrote.
It's Wiggins' fault.
You can yell at him at 8:35.
Caller 12 to 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797 will win a pair of tickets to see Toto and Minute Work and Christopher Cross at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
I saw the set list.
Today. August 5th. Oh, you did? They've already got the set list out?
Well, they're touring now.
Oh.
Together. And Christopher Cross, he only gets to play 9 songs, but 7 of them are hits.
Okay.
And then Men at Work plays 6 or 7 hits. And they also do some Colin Hay solo stuff in there. So if you're a fan of the band and the lead singer. And then Toto just hit after hit after hit after hit.
Hit after hit.
After hit.
You know, it seems weird to me because I've never been part of something like that. That show is already on tour now. And the show here isn't until August.
Yeah, they'll probably
That must seem like a marathon for those band members because they've all qualified for Medicaid at this point.
Make
or Medicare,
dope.
I should say. Right? They've all got to be in their 65 or older, right?
Oh,
have
at
to
least.
Be. 70s, maybe?
And the lead singer of Toto is the son of John Williams, as in the composer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, see, you learn something new every day here. But congratulations. We'll give away more tickets the rest of the week to see Toto. And I don't know why I'm thinking the tickets are on sale already. If they're not, they usually go on sale Friday of the week that we give those away. But thank you. Kim, did you enjoy that? Did you click your heels together for Toto?
I did. I held the line. What is it? Hold the line.
Yes. Did you get the Dorothy reference there?
I did.
Okay. All right. Which, of course, was unrelated to the band, but that's okay. I told everybody I was smiling when Kim voiced that promo because my voice has been so bad. And then I thought to myself, she has no idea what hold the line is.
I absolutely do not.
You did not.
No.
But then Carl, of course, they played the music into it and then you knew immediately what it was.
It's funny because I hear all these songs and I'm thinking, oh, I know that song.
I know that
but
song.
I'm just really bad at artists. So I can hear a song and have no clue who the band is or not realize that I'm aware of a band like Toto.
That song was in a commercial one time.
When I hear Toto, I do think of the dog from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Well, as do probably a lot of people. There you go, Carl. I knew it would take him a minute to get it up there.
I wanted to cue it up to that part.
Yeah, that's true. True. All right. Well, good luck to you. Looks like we got a winner. We'll give away more tickets the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, even in Carl's absence. Ethan will roll the music for us. How about that? All right. Get to a quick break here. Coming up, we're going to get to John Lamping, bottom of the hour. We'll talk more about property tax, just personal taxes as well. Because should your income tax in Missouri go away? Could you imagine? Do you just suspect it would move to somewhere else? Because the revenue would still have to be there? I don't know. We'll talk to John about all of that at 6:35. Stay tuned. Well, the hits keep coming for the folks over at the City Hall here downtown. Not only do we have the situation, of course, with the school board and the credit cards that people are abusing. They were supposed to all be turned in this week. I don't know if they ever turned them in or not. Like, they don't even know who all applied for credit cards in the name of the school board or the school system. The previous superintendent is accused clearly of having pretty loose rules with who could apply for what and charge what and pay for what. And, I mean, they're just starting to really, I think, get into the edge of that. And then to Channel 4's credit, they did this story almost a year ago, and now it's starting to come to light about companies that had ties to one particular St. Louis building inspector who also all coincidentally, I'm certain, ended up getting the contracts to work on the properties, sometimes to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars in repairs that this particular inspector insisted those buildings have to be charged back to the landowner. Places where, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Mark Reardon yesterday had Lauren Traeger on from Channel 4 who did part of this story. And I'm listening to this thinking, you've got to be kidding me. How is nobody minding the store at all? How come nobody would look at some of this stuff and say, how did we let that happen? It's no wonder we're bankrupt.
And, you know, we started hearing from some property owners, essentially, who say, you know, I have some questions about the work that is being done. For example, we interviewed one property owner who has a very interesting idea for a new sort of business, turning an old car repair shop into a co-working space. And he was billed for repairing stairs. Well, it's a one-story building. There's no stairs. He was billed for repairing the floor joists and the subfloor, but it's on a concrete slab.
Oh.
So things that just really were not adding up. And also, you know, these are large, again, large dollar amounts. So the city claims it's to stabilize the property from a public health and safety standpoint. So if there's, you know, we all, of course, know many buildings are starting to fall into disrepair in the city of St. Louis, and we don't want bricks falling on people or people to be injured. And so that's sort of the premise at which they come at it. But when you talk about $100,000, $200,000, in some cases, $300,000 and $400,000 worth of stabilization work, you know, again, you start to wonder, is that more of a significant repair? Plus, then you have these questions of essentially, I think the question is, are these contracts appropriate at all? Is the program constitutional? And was someone possibly inflating the contracts or getting paid inappropriately? And those are also questions that are being vetted out right now.
There had to be a bidding. You would think there would have had to have been a bidding process for these jobs.
And maybe that's the problem, is there wasn't actually a bidding process, which, of course, there should be. Lowest bid typically gets it.
Your tax dollars at work, and yet, you know, they're going to come to you and they're going to poor mouth because they had to refund part of your earnings tax from 2020 and 2021 and maybe 2022 if you've been working from a home, to the tune of $40 million out of the city budget that they frankly weren't expecting to have to spend.
But it's funny how the city that's so corrupt, like St. Louis, is sitting there saying, we can't afford to not have this earnings tax. Well, maybe if you'd stop using our money inappropriately and in stupid ways, maybe you would be able to make up that cost somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I think about all the ways our federal government, DOGE has already found the stupidest ways that our federal government is spending our tax dollars.
Our perception of what is waste and theirs probably differs significantly. I mean, any money you tell me is going for crime reduction that does not include new guns, new cars, or new police personnel is a waste. Don't tell me you're spending money on social workers to accompany the cop to the scene, but they then have to sit in the car until the scene is secured, at which point, why do you need a social worker? Right?
Yeah.
This is the insanity that we're dealing with in the city. And until those kinds of things are being addressed, and we're not wasting public safety dollars, and we're spending public safety dollars where they need to be spent, then I'll start to listen to some of their arguments that, well, once we've got this satisfied, maybe we should look. Maybe, Kim, if we did a midnight basketball program, we could cut down on crime in the city, and then we could ban those Lime scooters again, and kids wouldn't want to come down in the middle of the night.
I bet that would solve it. And you know what would solve the homeless issue is just we gate off all the different areas where they typically set up.
Oh.
And then that would just solve the issue, right?
But didn't we try that when Kamala came to town?
Shoot, we did try that. And how is that going, City of St. Louis? Because when I was driving here downtown, I saw, I think, at least 2 to 3 homeless people sleeping on the sidewalk.
Well, the temperatures have warmed up a little bit. I'll give them that. But all they did was move the problem down the street. Now it's down there across from the old federal building between the Keel and the post office. They just moved down the street. So now Tashar Jones can't look out her window and see them. That's the biggest difference. I mean, it's all lip service and payoffs, it appears, to people who have something to give back to the administration, maybe in terms of votes or contracts or whatever the case is. But good for Channel 4 doing a little bit of real investigative work over there at the station. All right, coming up, we'll get to Senator John Lamping and the idea of replacing the state's income tax. We'll be back. So what is the first thing you think of when you think of the state of Florida or Tennessee, for that matter? I'm just trying to think here. What I think of is the fact that they don't have income tax. So there's not a surprise when you hear that some rich golfer or athlete or movie star would relocate from the high-tax state of Crazy-fornia and go to Florida, for example. Where they don't have to deal with those sorts of things. Texas is a great example of it, right? And then you might think to yourself at the same time, well, how do they afford that? I mean, there was a lot of talk during the gubernatorial primary of getting rid of the personal property tax, and a lot of local municipalities pushed back on that. I attended the 20th anniversary celebration for the Show Me Institute, and economist Art Laffer was there, the founder of the Laffer Curve, and he was talking strongly about getting the ball rolling on eliminating the sales tax, the income tax, I should say, in the state of Missouri, and what a huge difference that makes in the economies of these states that pull it off. We've got our friend John Lamping on, the former Missouri senator, this morning. John was there that night listening to Art Laffer talk about all of this. John, good morning.
Well, good morning, Mark and Kim. Merry Christmas to the two of you. Hope your Christmas season's off to a good start.
It's great. I'm just wishing for a voice that doesn't sound like a frog between now and Christmas. Thank you, though.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're not sounding up to par. I know in our household, Christmas season starts today. It's my wife Karen's birthday, and that officially kicks off the Christmas season. So I'm looking for the next 7 or 8 days. Oh. It'd be a lot of fun. But that was a good night with the Show Me Institute. And for those you don't know in the listening audience, that's a libertarian / conservative think tank that's primarily funded by Rex Singfield. And what was interesting in our gubernatorial race is that Rex Singfield was the single largest donor to the Kehoe campaign. And what Governor Kehoe was willing to do on the campaign trail was to talk about eliminating the state income tax. And so unlike Governor Parson, who really had no agenda at all legislatively, he had no strong ideas other than to hope that the Chiefs do well, which he's very successful in implementing. Governor Kehoe has decided that this is eliminating the income tax is going to be one of his, if not his signature idea in this first session. And it makes for a very difficult session. It's going to be interesting to see. This is really where the challenge to replace the revenue from an income tax is a concept that's going to be heavily debated and is very difficult to execute and will require he, as governor, to take a lead in the legislature. There's already been at least a half dozen bills filed in both bodies, but it would be a very, very simple proposal to kill and will require the governor to take the lead.
Well, how do you think we replace that income? Because that will be the number one reason why people say this just simply isn't possible. But to Mark's point, we've seen it done in other states. So clearly there is a way.
Yes, there is a way. you need to understand that someone like Art Laffer, his overarching philosophical concept is that whatever you tax, you get less of. So the idea of taxing, eliminating taxes on income means that people with no taxes on their income, they will produce more income. So it's an incentive to go out and to work and to earn income. Well, what those other states do, and there are 9 states that don't tax income, is they rely heavily on sales tax. So, for example, here in Missouri, the state portion of any sales tax is 4.225%. So that that would have to either go up, but more likely it would be taxed upon a lot of things that aren't taxed now. So, for example, I'm going to get my oil changed tomorrow on my car, and that's a service, and that service, the parts are taxed, but the service is not taxed. And so you'd have to tax services if you were to go to get your taxes prepared or have a lawyer do work for you. Or maybe I'm a financial advisor, so financial advisor's services would be taxed. So it's a combination of taxing services, and then all of those other states have much higher property taxes than we do here in Missouri. So it's exciting and as fun as it sounds to eliminate the income tax, and I'm all for it. Politically, you can understand that there are so many barriers. So many different groups are not going to want to have their product or service be taxed. The realtors in 2016 actually went so far as to pass a constitutional amendment that says you cannot apply a tax to their services. So this is going to be this will be interesting to watch. This is going to require tremendous skill and effort on the part of the executive branch. And right now, the betting odds are probably like 7 or 8 to 1 that it passes.
Wow. So just to point out there, the Realtors Association is also the one so opposed to initiative petition reform for that very reason, because they were able to use it to keep themselves from being taxed on their services in that particular case, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. What people don't realize in this country is that the realtors are probably the second largest political entity short of the teachers union. They're that powerful. They have that much money in government. And it's to, you know, they try to make sure about the deductibility of mortgage interest. And then it's things like this. It's things like taxing their services, which have never been taxed. And so it's going to be quite a challenge down in Jeff City. It's going to be in the news. It's already been in the news the last week or two. All these bills will get filed. And at the end of January, Keogh will give a State of the State address. And it's important to see what a priority this is or isn't in his address. But I do have to, you know, tip of the hat if he actually takes this on. It's a lot easier just to be kind of a caretaker governor like Parson was. To actually go and try to get something through the legislature that's as controversial as this is going to be, or as difficult as it's going to be, he's going to have to really risk a lot of political capital and be very persuasive and negotiate. He can't just sit back and let the legislature do it because they won't get it done.
No. I've supported this idea of no state income tax, but now when you're talking about, well, to make up for that, they could increase the sales tax or increase our property taxes. So how much money do you think the average person would really be saving? Would it be significant?
Depends how much you spend. So the answer is maybe, you know, like, the revenue still has to be there. I know in most of these proposals, they're trying to cap spending.
Yeah, couldn't
which
we just
is a
cut,
good thing.
Cut things that are not necessary? I know that's hard for government to do, but
yeah. Well,
obvious.
At the beginning, they're not going to cut spending. It's all going to be in the growth rate of spending, and so there'll be an attempt to try to cap spending. That's just another reason why people will oppose this.
Right.
So the income tax has not been eliminated anywhere in the country since 1959, and that's when Tennessee eliminated their income tax. At that time, Tennessee's economy was less than 90% of Missouri's economy, and now its economy is almost 20% larger than Missouri's economy. So it's had its effect, but there's a reason why it hasn't been changed since 59. It's very difficult to do.
Well, if you think about that, when people travel to Missouri, when they go to Branson, when they come here to see the Arch, when they travel to Cardinals games, when they do all of these things, travel to see Mizzou play in Columbia, they're paying that sales tax, and they're making up part of the money that you would lose from not having a state income tax. But, John, when people complain about that, I want to say to them, listen, Do you realize there are 6 million people in Missouri? There are 12 million people in Illinois. Illinois spends like a drunken sailor on everything, and the state budget in the state of Missouri is about $5 billion more than the state budget in the state of Indiana. We have a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. And unfortunately, this is not about cutting spending. It's just about where the money that you spend comes from.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing, is that all of those tourists and people who visit us and all the money that's spent from out-of-state people, that's not going to change. What's going to change is when Kim takes her children to the dentist, she may have to pay tax on the dental service. And that's where you can just off at the beginning of this conversation, you can see where that's going to be very difficult to convince people to pay taxes for things that they've never paid taxes for. Maybe your lawn service, you know, things like that. So it's going to be an interesting fight to watch from afar. And, I'm not surprised that this is happening, because this is what the Show Me Institute, Rex Ziegfeld, that group really pushes for it. That's Mike's largest donor. Mike did introduce it to his campaign kind of late. But the easy thing for him to do would be not to fight this fight, to say something along the lines of, well, we'll let the legislature figure it out. And that's code for it. They'll never figure it out.
You're right.
The only way it's going to pass is if he rolls up his sleeves and gets into negotiations and tries to figure out a way to get this through to the finish line. It would transform the state over a long period of time, much as it did to Tennessee over a long period of time. But we'll see. It'll be something to talk about and something to watch in January and February in particular. We'll get a sense of where it might be headed.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, happy birthday to your wife, Karen, for us, please.
Well, thank you for her, and wish you both a Merry Christmas and have a great holiday week. And look forward to talking with you guys later this year and then
Excellent.
Into next year.
Appreciate it. John Lamping, former Missouri senator, and I know I could see the look on Kim's face. You lost her when you told her she was going to have to pay more for dental services.
I don't like that. I just feel like we're switching over. We're just moving where that.
But you're not. But you're not.
Why can't we just cut?
There are places that you can cut. I
refuse to believe there are not places we can cut. I know John's point. I don't think John's wrong. I think they won't want to have to cut, or it's not easy to cut, because everyone's going to say, no, this is necessary. We can't cut this. So they're going to say, well, let's just make it up and add more sales tax. Well, if it's still a significant difference, then I'm all about it. Generally speaking, I support this idea of no state income tax, but I do not like the fact that they're just moving it around.
Why does the state of Missouri why does any state like an income tax? Right? Why? Because you don't have a choice. You make $10, they're going to take three of it, whatever, or two of it, or whatever the percentage of that their tax is.
Yeah, I get mad every year.
No matter what, you're paying that money to the state of Missouri.
Right.
If you remove that, you bring more money in, and then you get to decide what services and goods you buy and where you spend your tax money. That's the difference.
I do agree. And I like that idea.
Yes.
What bothers me is that, to me, it would potentially de-incentivize people to want to spend money in some circumstances.
I don't know. You're going to have to spend some of it.
Well, you have to in some circumstances.
But you're going to have more in your pocket. Think about that.
No, I need to see the numbers. I'd like to know how much they're going to raise the sales tax. I want to know how much they're going to raise property taxes.
You're going to get a 4% increase next year. Not as good as the auto workers, but you're still going to get it. If they eliminate it, you get a pay raise.
Show me the money.
I love it. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News with Ethan in just a few minutes. Next hour, we'll get to our friend Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio, and talk about this tragic shooting once again of a teenager out of control, nobody monitoring the nutty thing she was putting on social media, and she went in and shot up a school. We're going to get to that for you at about 7:35. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It looks like Jamie Lee Curtis is in early talks to play Jessica Fletcher in a Murder, She Wrote movie adaptation for Universal Pictures. The feature, which is going to be produced by Phil Lord, Chris Miller, and Amy Pascal, will reimagine the iconic character made famous by Angela Lansbury on the long-running TV show.
I like Lord Miller.
Yeah?
Who?
Lord Miller. They did the Lego movie. They did 21 Jump Street reboot. Yes.
Yep.
So they're familiar with rebooting.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
I just can't envision her in that.
Yeah, but
role.
You think of Angela Lansbury as really old. She wasn't really
probably
old
not.
When she did that.
No, I know. But she was just, she was matronly looking.
Yes.
And I don't think of it. Now, Jamie Lee Curtis is completely white-headed these days, but I still don't think of her
you
that way.
You think she's hot still. Yeah.
I do. That's still the image
Jamie
I have
Lee
of
Curtis
hers from
hot?
Trading Places, trust
yeah,
me. When you've seen that scene, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Are we so saying Angela
scene?
Lansbury
I'm
isn't?
I'm thinking of her from Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Over the weekend, Nelly had his black and white ball here in St. Louis and brought together stars for charity, live performances, and a major announcement. Now, if you remember, we were talking about how Nelly's going on tour and that they weren't coming to St. Louis. They revealed why. Nelly, alongside producer Metro Boomin, they plan to launch the Smokin' Hayride Festival, and it's going to happen in 2025. It's going to be a hip-hop and country music festival here in St. Louis. And while the details are sparse, the festival replaces the St. Louis stop on the St. Lunatics tour. Sorry about that.
That's going to be an interesting crowd.
That's what I told Carl.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, how is all this right. going to go?
Can't wait to not buy my tickets.
Yeah.
I might.
Well, it depends on who they have.
You're going to go. You're going to go and see Nelly?
Why Jelly not? Roll and Nelly? I mean, it could be. Who knows who's going to be here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
for Florida Georgia Line?
Yeah.
No, they
yeah.
broke up, didn't they? I think so.
Florida and Georgia broke up?
I believe so.
Damn it.
Who knows? It looks like colleges are now offering courses and degrees in influencer and content creation careers, catering to the aspirations of students aiming for success in the growing creator economy, which is valued at $250 billion.
Yep.
Notable universities like the University of Alabama, Mississippi State, and the University of Texas are leading the way with classes such as social media storytelling and a bachelor's degree in digital media influence.
That's so you don't grow up technologically challenged like me.
Or me.
Yeah. Thank you.
The one stat I saw in here which kind of surprised me was 54% of Americans aged 18 to 60 have expressed interest in leaving traditional jobs for content creation.
Yeah, because you do the job from home typically. It's on your own time. It's the flexibility is what I think is very appealing for a lot of people. And you make millions of dollars. If you follow any influencer on social media, their home is ridiculous. They're like, oh, my chef and my, you know, seamstress and my all these people. I'm like, how are you paying for this? Your YouTube
Thank
video
you.
Of you sitting in a chair raked
maybe,
in how many views?
Maybe I could get paid getting letting people watch me watch Yellowstone and Lioness and these shows
you never
that
know.
I'm watching. They can
if
just see my reaction.
Enough,
you gotta try
pay.
It, Mark.
All right, back with Todd Pyro after the top of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.